Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Believe You Me.
It is Believe You Me on the road. The Believe You Me roadshow, as we like to call these ones.
I like it.
I'm in a hotel in Las Vegas. Obviously, I commentated the contender on Tuesday and we got the fights on Saturday. And then I'm doing a contender on Tuesday again. So I'm staying in this very weird hotel.
It looks fancy.
8 days. It's not fancy. It's not on the surface. It looks okay. It's a good size room. It's a suite. So I'm very lucky, but it's dark. It's dingy. There's nobody here. I feel like I'm the only guest. Seriously, I have not seen another guest. It's very creepy. It's shut down. All the tables, you know, the chairs are on top of the table because obviously it is shut down. The UFC take over all the hotels because obviously if they've got fighters on, they can't have the fighters interacting with the public because in case they get the fucking virus. So yeah, so it's weird. And honestly, I am living in The Shining right now.
Yeah, it looks pretty good to me though. I'll tell you that much. What's Vegas like right now? Because you're back. It's been a little while since you've been to Vegas. When's the last time you were in Vegas?
Last time in Vegas? I don't know. Start of the year. Probably the Conor McGregor versus Cowboy fight.
Wow. Okay, so it's been a long time. But what is Vegas like now? Because it's opened up a little bit more, right?
Yeah, not as much as what you think, though. Because I remember, no, I was here quite recently, actually. No, what am I talking about? I was here doing tons of fights in May. But still, even then, I was looking around trying to find food and restaurants and whatnot. And a lot of them are closed. Two nights ago, I went out for dinner with referee Mark Goddard. Mark's an old mate of mine, so he's here refereeing. So we caught up, we went and had a bite to eat, and I wasn't sure what would be open. So I asked somebody, I said, are the casinos open? They said, yep, they're all open. So I said, all right, let's go to the Cosmopolitan. Cosmopolitan's a nice spot. They've got some good restaurants in there. And we went there, and most were open, but it was weird. It wasn't very busy. You know, Vegas is always packed, seven days a week, 365 days a year. But on this occasion, yeah, kind of quiet, social distancing, all that palaver. But yeah, you know, sat down with Mark, had a nice meal, you know, nothing crazy, a couple of drinks, a couple of dirty vodka martinis.
There you go.
It's my go-to tipple. I do like those. And yeah, came home to bed. Very, very respectable.
Yeah, it's not the old Michael Bisping. The old Michael Bisping would be out till 3 o'clock in the morning, getting hammered, starting fights in the streets. What's going on with you? Are you growing up?
I regrettably so, it seems. Regrettably so.
I even asked you before we started the show. I was like, all right, so we're going to do a show. It's only 6:30 p.m. there. I was like, I'm assuming you're going to go out after this. You're like, no, I'm just going to hang out in my room.
What do you think? I am some kind of party animal. I'm not 17. Do you know what I mean? I've got work to do. I'm a responsible adult. I'm a father of three. I'm a husband. I'm also a commentator, and I got to commentate these fights on Saturday. And I think it's a 15-fight card. So there's 15 fights, which means 30 fighters, and great fights, but not a lot of star, big star power. You know, so you've got to do a lot of work, a lot of research, and it takes a lot of time, Lewis.
Do you get paid the same amount of money for a 15-fight card as you do for a 10-fight or even a 7-fight card like we just saw last week?
Yeah, I was going to say last weekend was a 7-fight card, and yes, you get paid the same amount of money. You get paid the same amount of money. So I'm doing double the work of those motherfuckers last week for probably less money. Let's be honest.
For less money.
But I do love my job, so I do like to be prepped. You know what I mean? I'm very blessed to still be a part of the UFC. So I take it very seriously, Lewis. Seriously, Lewis. So I won't be going out. No, far from it. You know, I'll be revising, studying, you know, like the good little nerd that I am.
Well, good for you. I appreciate it. And the the Contender Series. I haven't been watching it. Dude, it's so difficult to get time to watch all. There's a fight card literally every weekend now, every single weekend. And then, you know, just have time to watch all those fights. And then there's other fights that are happening all the time. Boxing is getting really interesting again lately. Every other weekend, you're telling me to watch this boxing fight. You just commentated on the Contender this past Tuesday. You're doing it again next Tuesday. I don't watch the Contender. Why should I watch the Contender? Sell me on it.
Okay. All right. Ooh, big sell now. Because think about this. And I did want to talk about this because it's kind of a unique environment, right? Dana White, and this isn't me being an ass kisser. This is just a fact. Dana White is the best fight promoter on the planet. Simple as that, right? All these boxing promoters, they've promoted huge fights over the years, but they don't do it like Dana White does in the UFC. As you said, every single weekend, right, they've got fights on. They've got the Contender. They've got Fight Island popping off again in just a few weeks with five fight nights and two pay-per-views. He's the best promoter in the world. And if you want to be a fighter, right, you want to fight for the UFC. If you're a mixed martial artist, of course. Now, typically what you do is you go off, you know, let yourself loose. You know, you start off on the little, you know, grassroots shows. You know, you start on your Skank Fest, then you this, and then you do a few working men's clubs. You work your way up. You start getting a following. It's hard. It takes a while. That's what I did. And then you get on the Ultimate Fighter or something. And then, you know, or you just get in the UFC through blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of hard work, and, you know, they recognize who you are. Well, now with the Contender, right, they bring you in, they're up-and-coming fighters, right? Obviously, they scout them, they find the best guys available, and they have a seat right in front of Dana White. He just sits, and he's not like in passing. He's not seeing it on TV. He's not just there at a fight night just enjoying himself having a beer. He's there to give out contracts, you know what I mean? If you fight good enough, if you put on a good enough show, if you show balls.
Like the winner, it's not like the winner gets automatically a shot in the UFC. It has to be, they have to stand out.
Oh, no. Sometimes nobody gets contracts. You know what I mean? Just because you win the fight doesn't mean you get a contract. Like the other night, there was a fight on Sherrod Blackledge versus Cameron Church. And it was a great fight. The first two rounds was a complete slugfest. And in the third round, Cameron Church took him down and controlled him on the ground. And it wasn't, you know, the action wasn't as good as the first two rounds. And for that reason, Dana didn't give him a contract. He's like, nah, I fucking hated that third round. So, you know, go away, win some more fights, and, you know, we'll give you another shot down the line. We'll bring you back to the Contender, but you're not getting a contract because of that third round. You know, so there's a lot of pressure. And then when you hear the backstories of these guys as well, you know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of sadness. Of course, there's parents dying. One of them the other night had lost his child, you know, his daughter when she was 3 years Jesus. Old. Just absolutely heartbreaking. So you hear these stories and they're trying to make it out of the ghetto or out of the slums or whatever, you know, because most fighters, they're not born with a silver spoon in their mouth.
Well, how many fighters are featured in each episode?
Five fights, or 10 fighters.
So 10 fighters. Okay, so that, it's interesting. Yeah, the...
fight like fuck. I'm telling you. There was almost every fight was a first round finish. It was great. Honestly, fucking crazy action on Tuesday night. And then in the final, we had this guy on, Tafon Chukwi, who comes from Cameroon, lives in America now, but he wants to be the next big thing after Francis Ngannou coming out of Cameroon. And you want to see this guy. Now, the thing was, he's only 3-0, only had 3 fights, but built like an absolute tank. Fucking, you know, knockout power for days. And he kicked this guy in the head and he was unconscious for about 7 or 8 minutes. So me and Brendan Fitzgerald had to fill time waiting for him to come around. We're like, hey, oh, buddy, come on, I'm running out of things to say. If you wouldn't mind waking the fuck up. Of course, I'm joking. And yeah, you know, just devastating. And anyway, he's in the UFC. Dana said, wow. I had reservations because he only had 3 fights. But after seeing how well he performed, he's in the UFC. And as I say, just brings so much pressure because there you are. You're a fighter. You want to fight. There he is. The number one fight promoter in the world, put a fucking show on. So it really brings that level of excitement.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta understand, like, it's already a super crazy, high pressure situation. You're talking about just getting into a fight in general, of course, just getting in there and getting in the cage, the pressure that one would feel is crazy. It's out of this world. And then you're being judged on a whole other level where you're under a microscope where the guy, not only he's going to hear about it, but the guy is watching you. It's not even like, I mean, I can't imagine what type of pressure that is to deal with. It sounds super exciting. It's just on Fight Pass, though, right?
ESPN Plus.
Oh, ESPN Plus.
Yeah. Oh, ESPN Plus.
I have ESPN Plus.
So you have ESPN Plus. Maybe on a Tuesday, tune in. Maybe see what your brother's see what this guy's up to. Check out the commentary.
I also don't know why I haven't paid for a pay-per-view in fucking months. I don't know whose account I have. Somebody's paying for a pay-per-view, and I just sign in, and it's there, and I can watch it, and it's not coming out of my bank account.
Well, that's great, and I'm very jealous, because even though it's only $70, it pisses me fucking off. I'm like, come on, there's got to be a... And there is a code. I know there's a code. There's a code that exists for UFC people where they don't have to pay. I'm like, okay, let's go through it. 15 years with the company, Hall of Fame, former champion, first English guy, main evented so fucking many. Give me the code, because I've done very well financially through the UFC, and I still earn a very good living, and I'm totally grateful for it, but still, that $70 burns. I want the code, baby boy.
The code is Bisping is gay.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
And you have to type it in every time.
Hey, I'll do it for $70. No, I don't care.
You have to try it now, because what if it is?
You never know. If it is, I'll be very, very angry, and you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. How you been, Lewis? What's going on? You look a little raggedy, a little tired.
You said that before. You're like, you look raggedy. Raggedy is a shitty way to describe somebody. No, I'm a little bit exhausted. It's 10 o'clock here in New York. I'm an old man, dude, 38 years old. It's so funny. Like, I go to bed by 9:30, 10 o'clock almost every night, except for like Legion of Skanks nights. We have Monday nights. Since the quarantine happened, I'm not out doing late night comedy shows. And even when I was doing late night comedy shows, I like to be in and out. You know, I'll tell you right now, an ideal night for me is just sitting at home, drinking a little bit of whiskey, watching a movie, relaxing, doing nothing else, being in bed by 10 o'clock. That's the absolute ideal.
Well, that's exactly what we do. Seriously, we go to bed about 8:30 p.m. every night.
No, you don't.
I swear to God, we do. But we don't go to bed. We adjourn. Wah, we retire wah, to the boudoir.
Well,
no, nothing like that. You never know here and there. But no, not like that. We retire to the boudoir. You know what I mean? We've got a nice big bedroom. We've got a big TV in the bedroom, and our couch sucks. But we're moving soon, so we don't want to buy a new couch because, you know, the new house might not fit it, whatever the new house is going to be. No, we go to bed about 8:30, and then from there, you know, we take a little bit of drinky poo up. You know, we have a little, not much, a glass or two of wine. We put Netflix on. You know I mean?
Here we go. Keep on going. No, tell us some details. No. The fans love. They're loving it. They're on the edge of their seat.
We got to bed about 8:30, but then sometimes, you know, it's like 11-ish by the time we actually turn the TV off.
Damn, and two and a half hours, Bisping. You're a beast. I got to say,
two of those hours is spent scrolling through fucking Netflix trying to find something. I hate it.
I just want to tell my chick, just press fucking play. Take the remote. Pick something, and I'm going to sit there and enjoy it. Because if you give me that remote, I'm going to scroll over and over and over again with the same shit I see every night, and I'm eventually just going to pick the same TV show we've been watching for the past 3 months.
Oh, yeah. For us, we always end up doing the same thing. Episodes of Forensic Files that we've already seen. We've already seen them. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a good one. But no, we do that, so we're flicking through it. So in the end, I get tired of it, and I just say, fuck this. Come on, just take a stab in the dark. Boom. And she kicks off. So what are you doing? You didn't even read what it's about. I'm like, babe, this is ridiculous now. It's been 45 minutes and we can't find. Let's just put that movie on. Put that show on. Whatever. Take a chance. If you're scrolling through the TV, the old school TV, you might just see a show and it catches your interest. You know what I mean? Let's just press play on that. And then she kicks off and we got to turn it off, you know. Because Rebecca's awesome. She's amazing. I don't deserve her. But she's a bit of a bitch when it comes to the TV choices. I don't get to choose anything. I don't get to watch Narcos. I don't get to watch movies. It's Forensic Files, Downton Abbey, all that type of stuff. She rules the roost when it comes to the TV choice.
Yeah. Well, my problem is as soon as I get in my bed, as soon as my head hits the pillow, we'll start watching something. And as soon as we press play, I'm out within 3 or 4 minutes. Doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter what we watch. I'm just completely asleep by the time we start playing it. You know what I started watching again recently? Because this is where it's at. Like, I don't even want to watch new shows.
Yeah. Yeah, same. Oh, we've done Breaking Bad 3 times.
That's what I'm doing right now. Breaking Bad. I just started it again.
It's fucking awesome, though. It is a great show.
Better the second time so far.
you want to try the fourth? I'm serious. I'll call Rebecca. She's like, oh yeah, I'm watching Breaking Bad again. Because you do notice other things. And here's another one we've done many times. Well, two or three. Game of Thrones.
Yeah, me too.
Because, you know, you don't understand what the fuck's going on the first time. Second time, you're like, oh, I get it. Third time, you're there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm a Targaryen. And by the third time, let me tell you something. Here's the problem. Game of Thrones ruined television in a weird way.
Game of Thrones ruined itself with that shitty last season.
Well, they did. Should be ashamed. Yes. But even so, the last season of Game of Thrones was still better than most seasons of any other TV show. Let's fucking get real. Let's not get a twist.
No. Okay? That last season was awful. The last season, there was an episode where you couldn't see anything. There was an episode where it was just all black.
Whoa, easy. In 2020, Bisping, what's your problem with that, bro?
Whoa. Yeah, no, that last season's so
black. Black shows matter.
No, we're not here to talk about that, though, because people will say, what the fuck, Mike? You're talking about the last episode of Game of Thrones, season of Game of Thrones.
The point I'm making, though, is it ruined television because it's so good. Because I showed my chick Game of Thrones. She'd never seen it. And now anything else I try to show her, she's like, yeah, this is good. Like Breaking Bad, she's like, it's great. But it's just the epicness. How big Game of, like the writing was on, it was better than most other shows, but as good as Breaking Bad or as good as any of these other shows that have great writing. But then it was so big and epic with fucking dragons and magic and huge wars. It was like every episode was like this massive movie in production and everything else seems fucking, you know, toned down compared to it.
It does. But I'm going to tone you down on the Game of Thrones talk now because we've fucking seen it. And it's been out for years, Lewis. It's been out for years. It didn't just come out. 2011, bro.
The Red Wedding. Let's talk it.
Anyway, we do have Jared Cannonier joining us shortly. Surging middleweight contender. Who's he fighting? He's fighting Robert Whittaker. Is that correct, Harrington? Harrington? Oh, never mind. He's not here. Oh, there he is. No, he's on mute. We can't hear you. We cannot hear you.
Sorry, there's like 9 buttons I got to hit to turn my mic and camera on.
Well, just figure out which one of the 9 it is and just memorize it.
You got it, Mike. It is Robert Whittaker versus Jared Cannonier. The bout was originally supposed to happen in March. If you remember, Whittaker had to pull out. Jared was put as the fill-in for the Adesanya versus Romero fight. Instead, they rebooked it after his injury healed up now.
And what was his last fight? Last fight was Anderson Silva, correct? Or was it Jack Hermanson?
I believe it was the Jack Hermanson knockout. I'll look that up right now.
Yeah. So he hasn't fought for a while. Anyway, he's joining us in a little bit. We'll talk to him. We'll get his thoughts on everything, what's going on in the MMA world as well. And we'll ask him about his fight with old Whittaker there.
All right, really quick, we should thank Native Deodorant. What an incredible sponsor. I love Native Deodorant. All natural, aluminum, paraben-free deodorant. You got to be careful what you're putting in your body these days. Everyone's trying to be healthier. Why not use incredible natural deodorant? Most natural deodorants, by the way, they're terrible. Native Deodorants have figured out a way to have some incredible scents while making you smell absolutely great and making you not sweat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The aluminium free is a big one. But here's an even bigger one for me, Lewis. And I know you're going to bust my balls over it, but still, 100% plastic free packaging. Okay, oh, I know the world's going crazy with the coronavirus, but let's not forget the oceans are filling with plastic. And it's not a fucking joke. It is, one little piece of plastic takes 500 years to biodegrade. Well, now you can check out the latest press releases surrounding the plastic free launch if you wanted to at the Zoe Report. Native plastic free deodorant is made from 100% paperboard and zero plastic. And guess what? Halloween is around the corner. Why am I saying that? Well, guess what? Get ready. They now have the Pumpkin Spice Latte Collection, which is available for a limited time only. The Pumpkin Spice Latte is back, and there was a whole latte to be excited about. Native first introduced the Pumpkin Spice Latte as a novelty scent for deodorant in 2017, and it quickly became one of the most popular scents on their line and is one of their most anticipated launches this year. This scent has notes of pumpkin, cinnamon, nutmeg, and clove. And guess what? The opposite sex is going to just be coming after you. Even the same sex will be coming after you. And then when they come over, they're like, whoa, you smell very Halloween-y. You can say, yo, guess what? Zero aluminium. And guess what? Zero fucking plastic. Zero zeros, baby boy.
fat people are going to be coming after you. Fat people that are looking for pumpkin spice lattes are going to be coming after you and trying to lick your cheeks or lick your armpits. I don't know. I'm not going with the pumpkin spice latte. I like some of their classic scents, like the cucumber and mint, the lavender and rose, maybe a little bit feminine for some, but I'm in touch with my feminine side. I don't care.
No, you've always done that. You've always been in touch with it. I've said, you know, I mean, that's clearly evident from just one look at you. You can see that. But still, those are classics for a reason. They're very, very nice. Listen, either way, they're going to smell good. You're going to help the environment. You're going to help save the world. Be a superhero and use Native Deodorant. And of course, we have got a good offer for you. All you got to do is make the switch to Native Deo today by going to nativedeo.com. NativeDeo. NativeDeo.com/BYM or use the promo code BYM at the checkout. You'll get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/BYM or use the promo code BYM at checkout for 20% off. Right. Where the fuck were we? Should we get into these notes, Lewis? Should we have a little stab at some of these topics that Harrington has compiled?
Let's do it. I'd love to. Thank you very much, Harrington, for putting all your work in. I do love Harrington does this with the notes, though. He injects too much of his opinion in the notes.
Yeah.
That's the problem with it.
I know.
Bisping does not like it. Recently, what did we ask him? We asked him to do something, and he gave him like a top 10 list, and he was like, Bisping got so salty. He was like, dude, don't tell me what I think the number one fight of all time is.
Yeah, well, what he does, though, he puts things in there that have no business being in there, like this one in the notes here, Cody Garbrandt. Cody Garbrandt reportedly tested positive for COVID-19. We talked about this on the last show, okay? But still, but as you mentioned to me, this is you said this before the show started. Here it is. Point number two. Cody Garbrandt has reportedly tested positive for COVID-19. Thankfully, he still has 2 months to recover before he has to fight Figueiredo. Could this be a blessing in disguise as he preps to cut to 125 for the first time in his pro career? I'm like, so I said, how on earth could that be a fucking... an advantage? How could that be? And he's like, oh, well, you lose weight. It's like, no, Harrington, that's not an advantage. You know what I mean? It is not an advantage to catch a disease that so far has killed nearly 200,000 people, a disease that, granted, young people generally don't have too many bad symptoms. But if you're going to lose weight because you're sick, you're losing muscle. You know, you're not just losing the flab. You don't come out of a sickness like ripped up to fuck. You come out of it like a skinny little AIDS victim, right? So that isn't good for a fight.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, Harrington doesn't really think these things through sometimes, but I appreciate. Here's the thing, Bisping. We're wrong. We are the wrong ones because we set the expectations so high.
No, I don't. I set them high. I just set them at a very, very reasonable standard.
But anyway, set them really low.
All that bullshitting aside. Couple of good stories, though. Obviously, Nick Diaz. We did our show last week on the first show, Monday show. On Sunday, we pre-recorded. And then the very next day, of course, on the Monday when we usually do our show, the news broke about Nick Diaz making his comeback. And I know you're a huge Diaz fan. Everybody is. You know, everybody loves the Diaz brothers in general. They bring a lot of excitement, that attitude, you know. But they are kind of their own worst enemy. They hardly ever fight. Obviously, it sounds like Nate Diaz, pardon me, I'm drinking Stella Artois. Sounds like Nate Diaz is going to fight Masvidal again. And it looks like that Nick Diaz is coming back, according to his manager. But Harrington, do you want to shed some light on this situation? Because I heard Dana White did a little press conference after the contender on Tuesday night, and he kind of dismissed it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Mike, I mean, the guy hasn't fought in, over, I think it's 6 years now at this point. So there's always going to be, you know, a lot of water thrown on any rumors that guys are going to come back to fight. But he did tell Ariel Helwani he started training. He did, I think it was 14 weeks total, just training, being in the gym, lifting, trying to get down back to fighting shape. When he weighed in, he said he was between 165 and 175, would be ready to fight at 170 in the year 2021.
Yeah, I didn't understand that because I saw that on Ariel's post. Oh, he's in the range of 165 to 175. Well, what's with the big fucking...
Get on the scale.
Just fucking tell me what you weigh, guys. So how much do you weigh, Michael? Well, you know, classified. But I will tell you this. I'm in the range of 210 to 225, somewhere around that. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, just say 229.
It's not that important. You know what I mean? We're not like, ooh, he's in the range of 165 to 175. I want to see him fight again. Of course I do. I'm a big fan of Nick Diaz. I think he's great. He's awesome. He's great for the sport. You know, I just hope he's coming back for the right reasons. And I hope he hasn't, you know, punished his body on the little hiatus he had too much, you know, because he was partying for a while.
What would be the right reasons and what would be the wrong reasons?
Well, I was going to say the money, but still, there's nothing wrong with that, actually. Yeah. But if the right reason would be hunger, the right reason would be because he misses it. The right reason would be because that he, you know, feels that he's been wasting time away from the octagon. And he's had an epiphany and he's like, holy shit, what am I doing? You know, I'm wasting the best years of my life. Let's get back to work. Let's put some fucking training camps in. Let's make some money and set my legacy. You know what I mean? Those would be the right reasons. Wrong reasons would be, I don't know, just because something to do because he's broke. But if he is broke, there is a good thing to do. So give it a shot. You know what I'm saying? I did it for money, so can't talk shit about that. But what do we think about opponents? We have them here in the, there's a little sweepstake. Masvidal coming in at 3-1. I don't think Nick Diaz is going to fight Jorge Masvidal. What do you think?
I could see him fighting Masvidal. Out of all the people that were listed on that list, I guess, what was it done by BetDSI or one of these other websites? They put odds on what the chances are of who Nick is going to come back and fight. And then it was Masvidal, and then the other closest was Connor, I believe, as well on that list. And then a bunch of other people that...
Good. Masvidal was a 3-1.
He was the highest rank or the highest odds, correct?
Yeah, but still, I mean, Masvidal is fighting his little brother, fighting Nate Diaz. That would be fucking awesome, though. If he beats Nate Diaz again, which I think he will, for then, and say, right now he's going to take on the big brother. That'd be, and if Nick was to come back and beat him, nothing against Masvidal, but that would be such a great storyline for Nick Diaz.
Terrible storyline for Nate that his older brother had to come and do the job that he couldn't do.
Terrible.
Not good.
Embarrassing. Hey, man, you know, I know you think you're a badass and shit, but I'm going to get my big brother in you, man.
Well, all right, here's the thing. Okay, first of all, Nate Diaz versus George Masvidal is not currently booked, right? That's not officially booked. They're talking about it. This is a rumor. This is something that they've said. Now that Nick is coming into the media right at that time when they're talking about that, I'm not completely surprised if he comes in and takes that fight. Why not? In my opinion, it's a way better fight to make. We already saw George versus Nate. That fight is always the rematch.
Jorge
versus Nate. That rematch is always on the horizon. We could always make that fight happen at one point. Nick versus Masvidal, the story makes so much sense. I do, however, like and think it's more likely Nick versus Conor McGregor. Conor would love that fight. That's a really winnable fight for Conor McGregor. With Nick being out for 6 full years, Conor's a much fresher fighter. Conor looked great in his last fight. And then he has those crazy wars with Nate Diaz to come and fight Nick. I mean, what a fucking super fight. We are talking about Nick Diaz coming back against Conor McGregor. That is the maybe one of the biggest fights you could possibly make in the sport right now. So if I'm the UFC, if I'm Nick, if I'm Conor, if I'm all parties involved, that's the fight that I would angle for, even though Masvidal's super exciting as well.
Yeah, no, I agree with that completely. That would be a massive storyline. I want to say this, though. I'm going to go through the candidates, if you will, in a second. But if you're Nate Diaz, and let's just say Masvidal beats him, and he beats Masvidal, and if let's just say Nick Diaz fights Conor as well, but Nick Diaz is your brother. But how much do you think secretly he's hoping that his brother loses? Do you know what I mean? Because if the guy beats you, you don't want your older brother to come in and then beat him because it's, I don't know, it affects your ego. Do you see what I'm saying?
Maybe. Like,
secretly he's hoping Conor to beat him. Secretly he's wishing for Masvidal to beat him. I don't know. Maybe. I'm just throwing it out there.
Nate seems to really, really look up to Nick. He really like idolized him. You could tell the way that he looks. So I couldn't imagine him, you know, I don't even know. The
purposely wanting him to fail.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming my assumption is, and I don't remember the story wholly, but I am a big fan of the Diaz brothers. But Nick, my assumption is got Nate into fighting, you know, paved the way for him to have a career in mixed martial arts. I mean, He owes so much to his brother. So I'm excited to see Nick back, but I 6 years off. It's crazy. We saw George St. Pierre do it after it was less, actually a little bit less. And that was crazy for him to come back after that long off. You know, it's rare. It's very rare. You see a guy come back and not skip a beat. So we'll see what's up. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah.
Chances are that Nick Diaz can come back after 6 years and be the same Nick Diaz, which, to be honest with you, no offense to Nick Diaz, I'm a fucking huge fan. It's not like Nick Diaz was killing everybody when he left. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nick Diaz, he was having some great fights, obviously, but, you know, it wasn't like he was just, you know, destroying everybody put in front of him.
But let me just go through these candidates. So they got Masvidal at 3-1, Robbie Lawler 7-2. Bearing in mind that would be a rematch, and a rematch from a very long time ago. He knocked out Robbie Lawler pretty spectacularly, so that'd be interesting. Conor McGregor's 4-1, as you said, that would be a great fight. Carlos Condit 9-2. That's not a bad one. Carlos, you know, he's close to retirement, I would say. So that's not a bad idea. Mike Perry, 7-1. Mike Perry, Nick Diaz, come on. And Mike Perry, by the way, has been chatting shit on Twitter already, saying, fuck the Diaz brothers, East Coast bitch. That's what he tweeted earlier today. Darren Till, 8-1. And Anderson Silva coming in at 9-1. I doubt we'll see Anderson Silva because we saw that already.
Till's anyway. 185er now. He's not 170. Till's got all, those are all the only two that are even at all that could make sense would be Masvidal or Connor.
Because listen, you got to remember Nick Diaz in his prime was fucking awesome. You know, as I say, he knocked out Robbie Lawler there. I think back to the fight that he had with Paul Daly in Strikeforce. I don't know if you saw that one.
Yeah, of course.
That was a war, man. What a fight that was.
Yeah, and you know, Paul Daly, you know, really elite striker, really powerful guy. You know, Nick was able to come in there and just fucking piece him up. It was so awesome. And it was a really great fight. But yeah, dude, Nick is incredible. But I want to put that question back on you because I want to get your perspective on this because I think you probably understand this better than most. 6 years off with Nick's style, with the type of fighter that Nick Diaz is, do you think he can come back and compete at the elite level that he was once competing at?
I do because 6 years off isn't ideal. That's not what you want to do. You want to make the most of your time. But in those 6 years, he hasn't been taking damage. You know, he's been resting his body. The will to fight, well, I don't know. He's got older. See, that's the thing, the mentality. Will that be the same? Physically, he can fight. You know, we know that. Nick Diaz is a fighter. The Diaz brothers are fighters. Just, you know, by their character, that's who they are. They really embody that fighting spirit. They've got the attitude. They've got the skills. You know, certainly got the skills. So it's like riding a bike in that regard. But how much of this, how much has that calmed him? How much has, you know, being successful tamed that beast a little bit? You know what I mean? As Evander Holyfield said, harder to get out of bed and run at 6 a.m. when you're sleeping in silk sheets. Not that Nick Diaz is fucking, you know, a multi-millionaire, but, you know, he does well. And, you know, I'm not sure what he does, but he has some business endeavors in the cannabis industry and whatnot. So I'm assuming he does pretty well. But, yeah, you never know. You never know. Has he still got that fire? Only time will tell. And I'd like to see him fight again. All right, moving on. I do like this story. We were talking about it, Lewis, when you were, whatever you were doing, but you weren't here. You weren't here.
But, raising my child.
Maybe you were raising your child, but do that on your own time. Not on the schedule BYM time, baby boy. Tyron Woodley says that he hates Colby Covington so much, he will risk a 2-point deduction in the fight to purposely punch him in the balls. He says, I will let my hands go. You guys and the fans are telling me, let your hands go. Let your hands go. I need to let them go. You have that. You have my word. I will let these hands go. I'll let them upside his head, body. I might even punch him in the sack for the warning. Bap. I don't know what that means. I will take the warning or even the point deduction. I feel good, guys. So he's out there saying they might even purposely go out there and foul him on purpose, which is dangerous territory.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk a lot. We're on these podcasts. We do these interviews. We're talking shit. Like, think about that, Bisping. How many times are you just yapping? You're just saying crazy shit. I don't believe that Tyron Woodley's willing to take a point deduction. I think he's a professional. I think he does hate him, but I think he wants to beat him. And I think beating him is a way to really say fuck you. Not getting him, giving him a nut shot is not saying fuck you. Beating him and saying, dude, yeah, you got to fucking get in the back of the line right now.
Yes, yes, yes. But he set himself up for potentially a great fall, because we see in mixed martial arts, fouls happen, right? The eye pokes are very unfortunate. People go to kick and sometimes they knee people in the groin. You go to throw a knee to the midsection, whatever, they aim it badly. They hit in the, you know, they hit him in the nuts, right? He's been out there now. He's on record, on file, saying, I'm going to punch this motherfucker in the balls. I guarantee you the referee in question will see that. And then they have a meeting. The referees go into the locker room of every fighter and they say what they expect as a referee. And they're very forceful. You know, they're very strong. They have to be. They have to command respect. You know what I mean? Normally you're getting your hands wrapped, so you're sitting down. They stand there. They try and tower over you. I'm like, you're not fucking intimidating me, you prick. Just fucking don't stop this fight. But they lay down the law. They tell you the rules. And they're probably going to say to him, hey, listen, Tyron, and I saw that story that you did. You know, I saw that little article that you're thinking of maybe punching him in the balls because you'll take a point deduction. I'm going to be keeping a close eye on this, and I'm not going to let that fly. If you're purposely fucking doing that, I'm going to disqualify you. And then what if he goes out there and he accidentally hits him in the nuts? He's set himself up for a fall. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I mean, you know, maybe it'll happen. We'll see. You know, time will tell, I guess. Do you ever get the vibe that, you don't got to name names, obviously, but have you ever gotten the vibe coming up that a ref didn't like you, or you're like, this fucking guy? Like, not so much that you didn't want him as a ref because you didn't respect his, like, ability as a referee, but almost like, I think this guy doesn't like me. I don't think he's going to, you know, side in my favor if something should go awry.
I don't think so. No, I was thinking about it then. I don't think I've ever had that. I've generally had a good feeling of the referees. You know, I always, and you always try and like be their best buddy. When they come in, when they come into the room, you're like, hey, what's up, man? How's it going? Good to see you, pal. How's the family? How's everything? Hey, I'm going to send you some gloves. You know, what do you need? Oh, you like this t-shirt, bro? I'm going to send you a care package. Don't you worry. Some t-shirt, gloves, you know, hats, whatever, a couple of sign posters for the kids. We got to do lunch sometime. You know what I mean?
Sucking the dick of the referee.
Get the fucking referee on side. I tell you what, who was the best referee for my money, right? And even though he's a rival of ours now, Big John McCarthy.
Oh, edit it out. I will not let you compliment them and their show. Not on Believe You Me time.
Fuck their show.
If I can't raise my child on Believe You Me time, you're not complimenting Big John, Josh fucking Thompson.
I'm not complimenting Josh Thompson. That little fuck can kiss my ass. But Big John McCarthy, I liked his refereeing style. He was very fair. He's very forceful. He was in control. He was in charge. And of course, he was the referee when I won the title. So he'll always be good in my book. But Big John Moore's the man. Anyway, Tyron Woodley, Colby Covington. It's coming up soon. Tyron needs to win. 19th of September, I think.
Ah,
2 weeks.
Wow. That's crazy.
He needs to win that fight.
Yeah, he does. Colby needs to win that fight too.
He's got a fucking very... Well, Colby, yeah, but not as bad as Tyron.
Yeah.
So hold on. What was Colby's last fight? Harrington, if you're around. The one that
he lost. We had his jaw broken.
So Kamaru Usman. All right. Yeah. Well, listen, he's coming off a failed title fight. Tyron Woodley lost the belt, and then he lost to Gilbert Burns. But it's the way that he lost, you know, for Tyron. I like Tyron's a great guy, and he's got all... That's what's so frustrating, because Tyron's so talented. He is. He's so fucking talented, and he's got so much power. But never mind that. We'll talk about that later, because right now we've got Jared Cannonier signing in. He's just trying to figure out the camera angles, angleterres. But yeah, what's up, Jared? How are you, buddy? Oh, he's still... I think you're muted, my friend. Down in the bottom corner, there's a little unmute. Hold on. Here we go. He's pushing. There it is. Oh, what's all up, right, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Hey, listen, thanks for joining, because I know there was a bit of a mix-up on the times and whatnot, but thanks for your patience, and thanks for taking the time out to join myself and Luis J. Gomez.
Well, I appreciate you having me on again, man. It's always a pleasure to chop it up with some of the greats of the sport that I love, so... Hopefully, I'll be able to get some good energy, some good knowledge out of this, and you know.
Yeah. Well. Of course, man. You've got a big fight coming up, so we want to hear from you. Obviously, Robert Whittaker. We'll get into that in a little bit. But since we last spoke to you, what have you been doing? How's life?
Just training, man. Business as usual. That's all life is about. I'm a trainer. I'm a father. I'm not a trainer. I'm a fighter and I'm a father, first and foremost. So that's pretty much all I do all day long. I go to the gym, I work out, come home, be with the family. Even more so now, especially during these times, everybody's in the house. So it's been good, you know. I can't complain.
How many kids you got?
I got three.
And how old are they?
5, 8, and 11.
Wow. Yeah. That's got to be wild. And what's it like to be a fighter with kids at that age? Do they really understand it? Or at what age do they start to really understand what you do?
Well, you know, kids are smarter than we let on. It's a matter of when they get the information, are they as apprised of it as we are as adults? You know, we get excited about fighting, but kids, you know, they'll see it. And if it don't relate to anything that's important to them at that time, then if it ain't like no cartoon or kung fu or anything like that. but at this point, it's pretty normal to them, man. I've been fighting, you know, since they were, you know, since my oldest was a baby. So it's normal to them, me going to the gym. It's actually kind of a nuisance. Oh, here we go. We got to go to the gym now. So, but it's all good.
Do they do any kind of martial arts?
Yeah, they do wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and kickboxing and stuff. And we're going to get more into it now. We've been slacking lately. But kids' class actually just started back up this week at the lab. So we're going to readjust our schedule and get those kids back in there.
Nice. Yeah, no, same thing here, obviously, with the whole COVID thing. Yeah. How's training been? Have you still been managing to keep up training throughout these weird times?
I actually have. You know, with the gym closed, you know, of course, we have to do what we can. I do have some gear here, some stuff here at the house. I didn't have a fight lineup, so I wasn't, like, bringing in training partners to work with. But the gym has been open for, you know, a little over a month now. So, actually, it's been going great. And at the same time, while all the martial arts gym were closed, I was still going doing therapy. So that was, like, an essential thing for me. I was still going getting my workouts in and rehabbing my pec. So I was benefiting from that while I wasn't able to go to the gym regularly.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, Lou's just texting me something there weird. It distracted me for a second. Obviously, you're fighting Robert Whittaker coming up soon. He just fought on Fight Island against Darren Till. What did you make of that fight? Give me your thoughts on that.
I thought it was a good, hard fight. You know, I thought, you know, those guys went in there and did what they did. You know, I can't really say too much about it. Because I'm always comparing it to how I would approach it, and I don't want to be critical in that regard. So stepping outside of myself, it definitely was a good fight to watch. Darren looked in, he looked his old self, you know, as good as he always is. And not Darren, I'm sorry. Robert looked as good as he always does.
Yep.
And Darren looked strong, you know what I'm saying? He looked imposing in that fight. You know, Darren wants to put it on him. So, the way those two dealt with each other was definitely fun to watch. It was something for me to learn from. It was fun to watch.
If you were in that situation fighting that version of Robert Whittaker, obviously I'm assuming you think you'd take care of business pretty well.
See, you asked all the right questions.
We're going to try and get you to talk a little bit of shit. We need some headlines. You know what I mean? And you're a nice guy, but come on. Robert Whittaker on Fire Island, that was you. You were Darren Till. What would have happened that night?
It sure as hell wouldn't have went 3 rounds. That's for damn sure. And if it would have gone 3 rounds, then good on Darren. I would have been tipping my hat to that man because he would have done, in my mind, he would have performed a great feat and survived in 3 rounds with the fighter that I am right here and now. Yeah, it wouldn't have gone all 3 rounds. So, and I can say that's definitely going to happen October 24th. It ain't going to go all 3 rounds.
So that's what it is. So it's October 24th then. So that's not that far away. It's only next month. It's what, like 7 weeks or something? Shit, man, that's coming around pretty fast.
No, that's not far at all. So
yeah, I'm looking at your record here. I just brought up your record. TKO David Branch, TKO Anderson Silva, TKO Jack Hermanson. I mean, it's quite the role that you're on. I mean, come on, they're three big, big names. You must be feeling pretty good about yourself. Must be very confident coming into this one. Almost smell that gold belt.
Almost. Almost. I can definitely, I know the smell of gold. I smell some gold up there. But I definitely smell the gold, and I'm heading right towards it. Those three wins in impressive fashion are only going to get more dominant, they're only going to become more. I want to say that much. I'm becoming more proficient. I'm a more efficient fighter. That can only mean curtains for my opponents.
So I was reading that you were almost, or you were over 300 pounds at one point in your life. Right now, just a quick tip, because we talk fitness on the show all the time. I'm a fat fuck, and Bisping's not looking great either. I don't know if you've seen him.
Easy, Tiger. Come on, I'm back.
Well, Bisping, you just went under the knife, didn't you?
I just had a total knee replacement two weeks ago. This morning, 20 minutes on the elliptical, shoulders and bicep, 500 abs and a good stretch. So kiss my ass, Louis J. Gomez. But go on. What are you weighing right now, Jared? Over to you, Louis.
Well, I was going to say, what are some good tips for getting that weight off? Because you're fighting at 185 pounds now. To be down from 300 pounds, that's pretty crazy.
Well, for me, I'd say it was the big drastic change was my meat consumption. I stopped eating as much meat. Of course, take out and all that bullshit that they put out, you know, that they have out there. But just my meat consumption really helped. Eating more vegetables, more fruit and herbs and stuff like that. Just that's it, basically. And so
can I just stop you there? I just want to ask you a question on that, because my wife and I, we're trying to, you know, consume less meat, right? Obviously, yeah. It's not good for the environment. We know that. And, you know, some of the way these animals are raised and what and slaughtered, it's shameful. It is.
Yeah.
So I want to do my bit. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I do enjoy a good steak or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I am trying to limit it. But my wife went vegetarian. I tried it for a little while, but all I was doing was having so many carbs, because if I have, a carnivore diet, then I can have, you know, my meats, whatever it is, steak, chicken, turkey burger, whatever, with vegetables or with salad and no carbs. So therefore, I'm going to lose weight. So how did you lose weight by minimizing meat? I mean, what were you doing? Just living off salads?
No, definitely not salads and stuff. But we replace meat with beans, you know what I'm saying? Pastas, some pasta some night. Sometimes I would have meat. You know, I would intermittently still have meat. I'm not going completely vegan or anything like that. But eventually, I would definitely like to get to that point. But like tonight, we just had like bean taco salads. You know what I'm saying? So bean was my mental fix for meat. You know what I'm saying? Because beans taste good. You know, we didn't season it with meat or anything like that. Some people cheat by throwing a big ass slab.
I was going to say, hold on, how do you season beans with meat? Like, you just sprinkle on some steak?
No, I think my wife just used some salt, pepper, and regular seasonings. I don't ask questions. I just eat the food. So, but you know, things like that. You know, quinoa. There's a bunch of different things you can have. You know what I'm saying? Mm. There's so many different bean dishes you can have.
A lot of roughage there, Jared.
Well, I can't say I eat a lot of roughage, but I do eat my fair share of vegetables. You know, I do get my veggies in. I do eat my spinach. So, I don't know. Talk to your local doctor. You know, I'm not a doctor or anything. I just eat what my wife make. We just become more conscious and more aware of what we're eating, how much we're eating, and what we're eating. And we both change together. So it's not no secret program or anything like that. I work out a lot. I work out intensely. You know what I'm saying? I work my ass off. So I work the car. I work the carbs off. I work the I work the weight off. So work the weight off.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So obviously, Jack Hermanson was your last opponent, and he had a tremendous win against Darren Till. I know how it is as a fighter. Anytime you beat somebody, you want them to go on and always be successful. But that must have been a good confidence booster to see him go out there and beat Kelvin Gastelum like that. It was Kelvin Gastelum. A heel hooked him pretty quick. What do you think is going to happen in the Darren Till and Hermanson fight, seeing as you've got a little background with Hermanson?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to say how a fight's going to end. You know, a fight will go anyway, you know. All I can do is analyze the best I can. And me being familiar with both those guys, especially now that they're in, you know, since they're in the same division as I. But particularly Jack, I know Jack is going to take the Darren. So, you know, I mean, what can you say? You know, it's a volatile situation. Anything can happen.
Because it's like a weird little like Grand Prix right now, because obviously you've got Israel and Costa, they're fighting for the belt. Now, when that fight's happened, obviously they need contenders. And I think it's there's the four of you, right? It's you, Jack, Darren, and Robert. Even though you've already beaten Jack, but I think you four are the top contenders, right? That are, I think whoever wins most impressively is probably going to get that next fight. Is that how you see it?
Well, I'm guaranteed to get an impressive win, so I don't have no born wins. You know, and that's not me being cocky or anything. I don't have any born wins. All my wins are quite impressive. Mm. So I even impress myself sometimes.
There you go.
But so when I win, the belt's in my bag. You know what I'm saying? Title fight's next. Those guys, you know what I'm saying? They're going to have to try as hard as they can. You know, so they're going to have to try as hard as they can, but I'm going to do what I can to get where I need to be, and I'm going to make it look easy.
You were on tap to fill in for Romero and Adesanya if one of them couldn't make it to the fight back in March, and recently you said that you would be willing to do the same for Adesanya versus Costa. I mean, are you completely focused on Robert Whittaker, or are you sort of keeping your options open? How much of that sort of plays into your game plan and your preparation? Because I feel like that's a little bit of a mind fuck, the amount of pressure that you see, that you may have a title fight that's sort of sitting there you could jump in on, but you're also preparing for Robert Whittaker, who's a former champion and extremely difficult opponent.
Well, when I get these calls, man, I get these names, there's absolutely no pressure on me. You know, a fight is a fight, and I'm going there and fight any and every last one of them the best that I can. And I know I can whoop every last one of them. So with that being said, it's not that I'm overlooking Robert or anything like that, but my plan right now, my course of action is laid out to where if anything happens, I don't want to put anything out there. I don't put no bad energy out there for either of those guys. But if anything happens, I'm going to be ready. My weight's good right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm a light heavyweight right now. So my weight's good. I can make the weight, you know what I'm saying, tomorrow. So whatever happens, you know what I'm saying, good luck to the champion and the challenger in this month's fight. And if that doesn't happen, I'll be more than prepared for Robert Whittaker. You know what I'm saying? I won't even have to worry about no weight cutting or dieting. I could probably even splurge at the beginning of the month, eat a little bit, not have to, you know, what's the word? Be as disciplined, if you will, as far as dieting goes and stuff like that. I won't have to worry about the weight cut as much as, you know, normal fighters would, I guess.
Tell us a little bit about your background and your childhood, because you see, you're very, very confident, but not in an arrogant way. You know, you just believe in your skills and you know you're going to go out there and you're going to win. And I respect that. I really do. But that comes from somewhere. So when you were younger, were you out there fighting on the streets and stuff?
Yeah, no, I'm not no hoodlum or anything like that, you know.
Well, I don't know. I was, so.
I wasn't what you would call a thug or anything like that in school or anybody like that who got into a lot of confrontation. I wasn't confrontational, you know, coming up. But I'm the youngest of three boys, you know what I'm saying? Those boys are bigger than me and stronger than me. And they're my initial inspiration for, you know, being – you know, of masculine energy, if you will, you know, them, my cousins, you know, cause I was raised by women, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? You can't be a boy acting like a girl around a bunch of boys, you know what I'm saying? So they'll straighten you up real quick if you get out of line. So, those men are my inspiration, my big cousins, even my little cousins, my brothers, of my initial inspiration of masculinity. These are in where I'm from in Dallas, you know what I'm saying? A man is a motherfucking man. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to muddle the line now in 2020, but back when, you know, I was born in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? I'm an 80s baby, and back then a man was a man. You know what I'm saying? He clutched his nuts when he wanted to flex, you know what I'm saying? It's another way of flexing and shit. So there's that, you know what I'm saying? And you know, rap music back then was pretty hardcore too, you know, so it had its influence on me. It's net good and negative influences on me. Mm-hmm. But again, I wasn't a delinquent. I was always, you know what I'm saying, my mama's strict. You know, my aunts, you know what I'm saying, it was a village of my mamas, my aunts, my uncles and stuff looking after each other, my cousins and brothers, all looking after each other. So we all lived in the same town. I was blessed to have that environment, a safe environment of people who loved and cared for me, you know, around me. So I had places to go outside of going out, running off to the streets. outside of that, you know what I'm saying, I guess it, you know, with that, you know what I'm saying, comes no fear of anything, you know. At that point, it's just a matter of how much knowledge you gain. And me young, I would say important knowledge critical to an adult came slow. I didn't get it until after I got up and got out. Outside of that, you know, I just began making my own decisions when I turned 18. You know what I'm saying? I went to college and tried my hand at that. It didn't, you know, I didn't come out with a degree. So I defaulted to the Army, joined the Army, actually got my hands on some martial arts in the combative system. And that's what really lit the spark in me right there. That's what really said, this is what I want to do. I need to do this. I need to use my body to do this, you know, combat, martial arts. So after I got kicked out of the Army, I found a judo school, got a job in Alaska, found jiu-jitsu. They had an MMA program, had the gym, and it just went from there. So I've been training since, when did I start? When did I have my first taste of actual training? What was it, 2000? I joined in 2005. So basic training, AIT. I competed in a little tournament in AIT. So 2005, 2006. And here I am 15 years later, about to get myself a belt in the sport that I've grown to love. And it's become a major part of me. I'm a huge fan of combat. I watch many different forms of combat. I'm a big fan of UFC and Bellator and all the other promotions, LFA, all the smaller promotions, AFC in Alaska. fighting is what I was, that was what I was born to do. You know what I'm saying? Growing up as a kid, we had the Ninja Turtles was an outlet for me to express myself. Power Rangers.
What's your favorite?
Was an outlet for me to express myself. Huh?
Who was your favorite turtle?
Well, I didn't get the pick of the litter, so I was Raphael.
I was Michelangelo all day long.
So I had to bear that flag, but I bear with pride because right now Raphael in the new movies, you know.
Yeah,
what I'm saying?
Raphael's the badass in the new ones. He's the dark, mysterious one.
Yeah,
he's a little bit of a spoiled brat. Actually, he needs a good slap on the ass.
Yeah, you don't want to be Donatello. Donatello's a nerd.
Raphael, I say, hey Raphael, saw your attitude out. What's up with you? Stop being fucking.
Yeah, now again, I wasn't the attitude. That's my oldest brother. He was the mad one all the damn time. But he said, forget that. I'm going to be Leonardo. Who you going to be?
I did like Donatello, though. I did fancy myself with a bow, with a stick. You know what I mean?
Lucy, no, everyone wanted to be Michelangelo because he was super cool. It's a pizza skateboarder. Cool. Yeah, nunchucks were fucking great. Smoking weed. We all know Michelangelo was smoking some weed. They didn't say it. But you know what was up.
Exactly.
Well, I was going to ask you, because you were talking about Bisping asked you if you had sort of like, you know, grew up and were getting into fights when you were a kid. Do you remember the first fight you ever got in your life ever?
Yeah. You mean with somebody outside of my family?
Say outside of your family, because I think brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Don't.
I think it was the first fight I got into a school was I was in the seventh grade. It was my first year in middle school. And we was on the playground, and it was a game going around called open chess. And it was, and anybody who was playing, it's pretty much open contract. If you get caught not guarding your chest, Duke run up on you, hit you in your chest, right? And so this dude, he didn't hit me in my chest. He hit me in my motherfucking sternum, which is underneath my chest. And wait, I see, like
I'd say it's part of your chest. It's connected to your chest. And maybe the guy was just trajectory was off. Maybe he stumbled. Maybe he slipped. Maybe he wasn't a trained fighter. It sounds like you beat somebody up for making a mistake.
Hey, man, this shit hurt. And I didn't like it too much. So I got mad. I didn't just start going off on him, but I was mad. And he just started smiling in my face, thinking it was funny, laughing at my pain. So that's what set me off.
Mm.
So that's when I went at him, and it wasn't like a full-on fight. I didn't like knock him out and beat him up. I hit him like 3 or 4 times, and then we clinched up. And you know how it is when you don't know how to clinch. It's just an ugly thing. But some adult came and broke it up and snatched us up by our collars, drug us to the thing and shamed us for a little bit and suspended us. So I got a couple of days off of that too, so it was nice.
Oh, that's great.
But I do remember one time, I will be honest and tell you, I told you about the first time I may have officially won a fight. I'll tell you about the first time I lost a fight. I was in the lunchroom. I just got my plate and sat down. Some dude next to me asked me for my food, and I was like, no. And you know what I'm saying? He must have not heard me because he went to reach for my food, and you know what I'm saying? Bing! Instantly, and I started shoving him and pushing him and getting
Hold
him
on, where was this at school? This sounds like fucking school. Prison.
Hey, man.
I'm stealing your food. That's mine.
Hey, knowing what I know now, it was preparing me for that. The way it looked, the whole atmosphere of it. Yeah. That's the way they construct those buildings to do, to make you a prisoner. You know what I'm saying? Make you think like you inside of this confinement thing. But anyway, outside of the fact, I started shoving him and pushing him and shit. And he didn't like that. And I made the biggest mistake of taking my eye off of him and looking down at my food. And bing, right out of the start of the thing, dude caught me and sat me down in my chair. And flashed me. Sat me down in the chair. And I got back up and looked at him and looked up. And my brother, he was sitting right there. And my brother was like, what you gonna do? He didn't say it, but I could just look at him. We already knew. He was like, what's gonna happen now? And so, boom, I just went at him, and not knowing how to fight, I should have just started beating off on him, but I ran and just killed all my range, so I couldn't get no punches off, so it was an ugly-ass clinch fest until some adult came and snatched me up on my collar and dragged me to the thing and came me for
That's great. Suspended
me for another 3 days, and I got 3 days off yet again. So
worth it
again.
There
you go. Hey, let me ask you this. Obviously, you fought both Dominic Reyes and Jan Blachowicz. And as you know, they're fighting for the belt pretty soon. How do you see that fight going down? What's your thoughts? I'm not sure why that's funny, you know.
Well, again, I don't like calling fights. I can only analyze best I can.
Please, right? analyze the best you can.
So we've seen these guys do their things. Reyes most recently went up against the greatest, you know what I'm saying, the great and John Jones. And, some people say he won that fight. I say it could have gone both ways. It should have been definitely a split decision. I wouldn't have argued it going either way. But to be honest, I was leaning more towards Reyes because Reyes did a lot more. I think he did a little bit more damage. And I think he was more effective in his game plan. So, that's besides the fact. Reyes is definitely, an animal, you know what I'm saying? I think he's getting more comfortable in there with being an animal. I think he's really enjoying taking it to people. I think against John Jones, he was being a little bit more strategic. So we saw him move around a little bit more. But I think I think if he let that dog out, you know what I'm saying? It could be a problem for anybody. He's got strong kicks, long punches, you know? And apparently he's got a really good uppercut. So there's that. and Blachowicz, he's shown his legendary Polish power. So I'm not going to sit here and I don't have to sit here and elaborate on that. He's a smart fighter, though. You know what I'm saying? Not only can he knock you out on the feet, we haven't, a lot of people hadn't really seen him on the ground. But when I fought him, I know he was an established, he was a black belt on the ground.
Yeah.
And, it was essentially null and void against me. But
make a pick. Who wins? Who wins?
A pick?
Come on. Who wins?
I win. I win because I fought both of those guys. And now look at them. So I win.
Well, you do win and you're in a very, very good position. And I do see a belt around your waist in the future. However, that said, get off that fucking fence. Who wins?
I'm going to have to go with the American, Dominic Reyes, man.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Last question before we let you go. And you've been awesome, by the way. And we thank you again because this is great. The crystals, the balls, the energy. What are they saying lately? What's going on?
What are they saying? what does that look like?
Whoa. Like gold? What is that?
No, that's my pyrite. You know, I just got to pull out some pyrite for you guys.
What is pyrite?
Pyrite is a, it's a, what's the word?
It's a peg leg, parrot on the shoulder.
Huh?
Sorry, bad joke. I do the.
It was a bad joke. He was saying pirate.
It's one of my favorite crystals that I like to utilize. You know what I'm saying? It has a lot of energy, a lot of various attributes that I like to harness out of it. One is
How does that work, Jared? And I'm not trying to be silly or condescending or anything. I'm genuinely interested. Just talk us through that. You said there's certain attributes that you want to harness out of that. How does that work?
Right. So. As we all are, we know that we are, our bodies are comprised of elements and materials from Mother Earth, right? Yep. So our bodies are born of the earth, and the earth is what sustains us, and everything in the earth is only beneficial for us, right? Everything in the earth is beneficial, even the poisons we can use to our benefits. So the stones, have been found to have to vibrate on certain frequencies, and on these frequencies and in these vibrations are energies, are metaphysical energies, and we label them as characteristics, as certain personality characteristics and stuff like that. But like with pyrite specifically, some of the energies that I would say translate to would be abundance, good luck, negating negative energy, affluence, good luck, good fortune, all those good things. So that's why I really like pyrite, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We always want to be the lucky one. We always want to be lucky and stuff in life and all that good stuff. So I'm using this stone to increase my luck stats for those who like to play video games.
Well, it's certainly paying off so far. Lewis, I know you got a good question there that you're ready to go.
But
one wanted to get, so because I need fucking good luck, I need fortune, I need abundance, I need all those things you just mentioned. Where does one acquire some pyrite?
Well, there's a lot of different places. Crystal Council is one of the places that I receive a lot of good crystals from. Right. Another one is The Life of a Stoner. He's on Instagram. Actually, I just bought a couple of really nice pieces for him, so I'm waiting for those to come in. So those are two good companies you guys can go to. Again, Crystal Council and The Life of a Stoner, D-A Life of a Stoner.
I just realized that I have the same reaction when a fighter tells me about crystals that I do when a hot girl tells me about them. I'm like, whatever you say, I'm like,
whatever. But hey, to really answer your question, Michael, I say that the stones have attributes in them as well as I do. I also have these attributes of having good luck and good fortune and being strong and having courage and being all that stuff. So that we energies that we harness from these different stones. I just use these stones to help bring out what I already have within me.
It's really fascinating. It is, and I'm going to try and learn some more about it. Maybe I'm going to find myself a good book and do some reading on it. But that is fascinating, yeah. And it seems to be it's paying off, buddy, because everything's trending in the right direction for you. Can't wait for the fight against Robert Whittaker. It's going to be fun. We wish you the best of luck, my friend. We thank you for joining us. Absolutely fantastic interview once again, and you're the man. Thank you so much, Lewis.
Thank you so much, Jared. You are the man. Final question for me. You get to choose one: world championship or world peace. What do you choose?
World peace.
Wow. No! You're the first fighter.
First one
that said world peace.
Really? Every fighter we've had, I've said.
Yeah, fighters are scumbags.
Without even thinking about it, they've all said world champion.
I mean, you do a whole interview of a fighter talking about himself. He's harnessing the energies of vanity and pride and ego and all this stuff. And then you say, what do you want? Something for yourself or something for anybody other than yourself? And what do you think they're going to say? But I don't, man, world peace. Because with world peace, there's always opportunity to become world champion. Now there's COVID. We don't have world peace. We got all this bullshit going on. You know what I'm saying?
So, that's a good point. It's a really good point. Like, you, if you believe in your ability, you'll get the world championship. World peace is probably never going to happen.
You know, when the UFC happened, when America was at peace, right? The company, all these great companies come up because America, we have peace. We're not at war. We're not in, you know what I'm saying? So, we still have the opportunity to build great things. You know what I'm saying? We just got to quit distracting ourselves.
All right. Well, on that note then, I'm going to get myself some fucking pyrite. And I can't wait to see the fight, bud. And once again, thanks for joining us. Look after yourself and we'll talk soon. We'll do this again soon, hopefully.
Thanks for having me again, guys.
You're the man, Jared. Appreciate it, brother.
The great Jared Cannonier. Really, really great. Great conversation. I don't know how much I buy the crystals, the crystal spirits and the vibrations, but look, I know some hot chicks who have said this. And look, they got good lives. They're hot chicks. I don't know. Maybe they're hot chicks because they believe in the stones.
Yeah, but listen, I'll be honest. He's kind of got me thinking there because he is right. Everything in the earth, we are one. We are made of the elements. We are just like, my body is nothing. I'm the same as this desk, this fucking microphone. We're all made of the same bullshit.
No,
yes, we are kind of at a molecular level, motherfucker.
I don't even know if that's true.
We do come from the earth, and I am now on the Jared Cannonier bandwagon, and I'm fucking gonna get some pyrite, and I'm gonna get some crystals, and maybe I'll have like a couple of little rock crystals as earrings. You know what I mean?
Just I hope so. I would love for you to fucking get some vibrations going on with some inner peace and some calmness and some fucking.
No, I do need some. I do need some Zen. You know, in fact, I have an app on my phone, Breathe, which is supposed to like calm me down. And I was laid on my bed trying to take a little nap before, and I put this Breathe app on and I couldn't fall asleep. And that in itself was stressing me out. And so the Zen app wasn't working, which was actually stressing me out because they charged me $15 a month. I didn't realize I got to cancel that fucking app.
What is the idea? So it's some sort of breathing exercises, meditation exercises, yes. Things like that.
Yes. Yes.
And do you use it and actually feel better? Ever?
Today was the second time using it. I did it. I got it on Fight Island because remember we were having to work all night and sleep all day. So I was trying to, you know, adjust my sleep pattern. Anyway, it didn't work.
All right, really quick. We should talk about DraftKings, which is such a great sponsor for this show. You guys love the sport of mixed martial arts. I'm going to tell you right now, you love it. It's the most exciting sport in the world. You don't really have to do anything to soup it up. Well, guess what? DraftKings has figured out a way to make the most exciting sport in the world that much more exciting because they've created the most incredible fantasy MMA game on the planet.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, we say this every week, but it's true. If you've got skin in the game, if you've got a few dollars on the line, then you're more interested. You're just way more invested in the fight because, well, you've got skin in the game, as I said. And one of the best ways to do that and to get best value for money is to go to DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app right now and then use the promo code BYM. That will give you a free shot at a share of $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's promo code BYM to get a free shot at $1 million. In prizes only at DraftKings. Of course, this Saturday night, Angela Hill taking on Michelle Waterson. It's a really, really good fight. Angela Hill, the first Black African-American female to headline a UFC event, so it's a pretty big deal, and it's going to be a great fight. And of course, a stacked undercard from top to bottom as well. So as I say one more time, download that DraftKings app right now. Use the promo code BYM, and you get a shot at a share of $1 million in prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Okay, let's get back into it. How good was Jared Cannonier? That was really interesting.
Yeah, he's great, dude. He's really good.
He really is. All right, let's. We've been going for a while, so we'll skim through some of these topics real fast.
Where should we start?
Should we just go through them in numerical order? Right. Dana White says, "Oh yeah, this is good." Khamza Chimaev, which I'm. You still don't know who he is. He fought twice.
He fought twice on Fight Island. The United Arab Emirates.
No, that was Munir Lazez.
Oh, Munir Lazez. Never mind. I'm getting them confused. Can I be honest with you? The UFC has just dipped into this whole Russian fucking Muslim.
Can I be honest with you? Shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. That's all it is. It's okay. Oh, yes, the United Arab Emirates guy. No, he's from Sweden and Dagestan. He lives in Sweden, and I think he's from Dagestan. Oh, he's definitely one of those Stanis.
There's a lot of those words. You know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of those words coming in now with the names. It's like it took me 4 years to figure out how to say Khabib Nurmagomedov, and I still can't even fucking say it.
Yeah, well, anyway, Khamzat Chimaev is his name, and he had two fights on Fight Island. Very, very impressive. And now Dana White, this has never been done before. He's booked him for two fights in a row. So he's fighting in a couple of weeks or a few weeks. Harrington, maybe clear up what I'm saying here. He's fighting against Gerald Meerschaert in a few weeks. And then also he's fighting Damian Maia on Fight Island. And after the contender the other night, some of the press were asking Dana, saying, you know, what gives? How come you're doing that? And he's like, this guy's been so impressive. He wants to fight, you know, and I believe in him. I think he's going to be victorious and all the rest of it. So Gerald Meerschaert, he's come out. He did an interview with Ariel Helwani. You know, I understand it. He feels a little disrespected. He feels like, you know, they think Khamzat is just going to walk through him. And of course, he wants to play the spoiler. But that should give Gerald a ton of motivation, because I'd feel the same way. If I was booked to fight someone and he had another fight booked a few weeks later as well with the same promotion, I'd be like, motherfucker. But that's just going to fuel the fire. But a rather unprecedented move, but it's exciting. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd have to be a little bit offended, but you know, whatever the extra motive, I would literally be excited because they go, cool, I needed some extra motivation. A little bit of extra motivation can't hurt, you know, just pushing yourself that much further. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm just going through these points here. Three fighters were suspended by marijuana. Louis Harrington, shut up. It's fucking old news. It's old news. My God. Oh, my. We talked about that as well. We were talking about this when Sean O'Malley actually logged in, remember? We were talking about weed and how it was ridiculous. And at that moment in time, Sean O'Malley logged in. And we're like, oh, we know you like a bit of Diganja, man. And we spoke to him. So again, Harrington, what are you doing? Very disrespectful. Don't like it. UFC fighter Jared Gordon took to Instagram to share a heart-wrenching story about a time he was molested as a child in response to the state of California passing a bill that reduces penalties on adults for having same-sex relationships with minors, which is disgusting. And here's the quote from Jared. I was sexually assaulted by a man at the age of 9. Full-on rape. I had to perform oral and anal sex on a man. I had no idea what was happening. I thought I did something wrong, like I was being punished for something. To this day, I can still feel and remember the smells and the tastes. This ruined my life. At that moment, my life took a completely different path than the one I was on. I know it turned me into a hateful person. It made me violent and eventually led me to drugs and alcohol. I vowed I would kill this person when I got older. Luckily, this person was eventually caught in a child pornography ring and had other charges brought against him, which landed him in prison. This is the most bizarre shit I've ever seen. If you're down with this shit, get the fuck out of my way. No way in the world can a minor give consent or even understand sex. I don't even know what to say. Heavy. Yeah, heavy stuff, man. I mean,
also, like, just really fucking brave to even have the conversation, especially in such a macho fucking world of like fighters, where it's like, and I think the fight game is very professional now, especially UFC, obviously Bellator, higher level. But it's like that's something that it's like to have that story and to talk about it openly like that. Dude, to relive it, to have to have your friend. I mean, it's tough. So, you know, good for him to share it, you know, in when you share something like that, what's brave about it and what's good about it is other people feel like, holy shit, I'm not alone. This is something that like I can maybe come out. If there's maybe a kid that's being molested or whatever it is, they see this guy who's a fucking UFC fighter who can kick fucking ass, get into a cage, hold his head up high and be brave enough to tell the story and say, hey, look, I fucking came out of it. It was a tough thing to deal with. You know, maybe it could help some other people. So it is, it was really, to read that, I was like, wow, dude, that was really, really heavy.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said there, because as you say, a lot of people will draw strength from the fact that he came out and said that. When I was in Fight Island, I had dinner with Paul Felder and Jared Gordon. He just weighed in. So obviously after you weigh in, you know, you want to go to town, you want to feast a little bit. So we had a nice dinner. And when we were talking, he was telling me, you know, we were just, you know, dropping stories and stuff like that. And he was telling me, you know, a little bit about his drug addiction problems. And, you know, they were extensive. You know, there was a lot of problems and he had some wild stories. And I thought I had some wild stories, but fuck me, some of the stuff that he told me about was crazy. But now I understand. I mean, of course, there was no judgment there anyway. I didn't judge the guy. It was, you know, I mean, I was very honest of him, and it was in his past, and he'd managed to quit the drugs, which is, you know, an incredible thing that he's done there in itself. But now hearing that, then you understand it. It's like, Jesus Christ. I mean, it is very brave of him to come out and say that. And I have a lot of respect for the man. I truly do. But fuck me, man, what a piece of shit that person was.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I couldn't even, I think of my fucking son, like, Jesus Christ, dude, it's just, fuck me. You know,
people like that as well. They'll never, there's no repairing them. There's no fixing them. There's no rehabilitation for somebody that is a pedophile. There's no making them better. That is what arouses them. That's what gets them turned on. You know what I mean? And also, these types of people, you know, they're the type of people that then go on, they start murdering people. Often, a lot of serial killers, it comes from a sexual place, a sexual desire. It starts like that, starts with rape, and then it goes into murder. And that's how they climax and things like that. It is very, very bizarre and weird, and I'll never understand it. But that kind of is it. And as I said, there's no fixing these people, you know. So to let them out or reduce sentences and things like that is absolutely crazy. They should be on a sex offenders list, a register of sex offenders.
Have you ever done that, by the way?
Send them all to fucking Epstein's Island, right? Have them all on there.
That'd be awesome. It's a party.
There'll be no kids. Okay. No,
we're taking the kids away. Sorry.
Yeah, there's no kids, okay? Send them all to Epstein's fucking island.
Bispics, whose side are you
Turn
on?
Turn off the electricity, right? Don't be sending them food and no survival cable. Of the fish. They can all fucking just eat themselves, you fucking cunts. You want to suck some dick? Yeah, eat his dick. Go on, eat his dick if you want to live. Fucking makes me sick. Absolutely makes me sick.
Have you ever done that? Like, looked at one of those?
No,
like,
I've never raped a child, no.
Oh, I was just going to... No, me neither. Sorry, never mind. Move on.
Go on.
Have you ever looked at one of those lists where it shows you where the sex offenders are in your neighborhood?
I haven't, no. I remember.
You can just do it right now. There's apps and there's websites where you can type in your address and then they show you on a map, they'll show you like little red blips where there's sex offenders. Bisping, they're fucking everywhere.
Oh, I know they are. And Harrison's probably getting very nervous at this conversation right now.
We turn it on, it's just Harrington's feet.
Bing! Is that, hold on. There's one real close. In fact, in this building, what's going on? Yeah.
So funny.
Anyway, Jared, I respect you for coming out with that. What else? We got a nice feel-good story. Oh yeah, Dana White gave the lady a job from Best Buy. That we know about that. Do we have any questions or anything like that? What do we want to do here?
Usually we do hammer fisting, but we have been going for a little bit here.
Oh, is it hammer fisting? All right, we'll let Harrington hammer fist us, and then we'll call it a go. Harrington, show yourself. Let me see you. What are you wearing today? I sound like a sex offender.
No, you're doing all right.
I don't need confirmation that I'm doing all right. But you look normal. You look normal.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying.
Where are you right now?
I'm in the Gas Digital Studios.
Ah, I see.
You're going to see Bisping on this week's Fight Journal. You're going to see me and Harrington spar. It is delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in terms of you just beat him up.
It's brutal.
It's a back and forth affair, Mike. It's a real topper knocker.
I doubt that very much, but it's called taking liberties, Lewis. You don't take liberties on your sparring partners. You got to be a good friend.
I try to not hit him hard. He just headbutts my fist really hard every time. He's so bad at fighting.
Yeah, so maybe spar with someone better.
He challenged me.
I'm just going to throw this out there. And Harrington, this is in no way any disrespect towards you, because you know, and I'm assuming you'll be the first to admit, you're not a fighter. You're not a professional fighter. You don't have designs on being a professional fighter. So why are you sparring with Harrington to get ready for a fight?
Can I tell you, why?
Hey, cliche time. Iron. Steel sharpens steel. You're only as good as the people that you train with. If you're training with Harrington, you're going to get your fucking ass kicked. And I love you, Harrington.
Harrington has been joining me on the training sessions because he wants free training and he's been trying to get back in shape. And Harrington is boxing another Gas Digital intern at a yet to be determined date.
My point still remains. The point, yeah. So what? They can both be shit together.
So you're Harrington challenged me. No, it's not about me. It's not about me. Harrington wanted to challenge me and he wants to spar. And I quote, he's like, I really feel like I learned a lot by sparring with Lewis. And I swear to God, I'm not a good fighter at all in any sense. But I'm telling you right now, Harrington is a really bad fighter. Really, really, really bad.
Okay, so you need to cut off all contact with training with him right now because you're not gonna gain anything. I'm serious. You're just going to develop bad habits. Training with bad people.
I don't train with him. This was the one sparring session.
You just told me all about it. I'm just saying, if you continue to do so, you will develop bad habits. You've already got bad habits, I'm sure. Well, you don't have habits. I have no idea. You don't have habits, but you know you will develop some. But Harrington, without further ado, Hammer Fisters. We still need the fucking intro, buddy. What's going on?
I think we actually got a couple in this week. We can maybe look at those during fan questions next week or off air.
Would have been great to look at them before the show and maybe use one. But yeah, okay, cool. Great logic. Right. Go ahead.
And by the way, what I texted the group during the Jared Cannonier interview.
Yes.
It wasn't for you to bring up in the middle of it. I was just saying for after it was over, I thought an interesting thing. Did you see that? We got tagged in it. That video of the Egyptian coach, like just beating on these young kids. It was on that, that Instagram, like, McDojo.
All right. Yeah. I know McDojo, but I haven't seen it. No.
We'll do it on Monday show. Cause it's fucking sickening, dude. This guy's just like beating the shit out of his young students. It's really, really brutal. But
yeah, no, we'll do that Monday because I have a few stories about that. A lot of martial arts coaches, they do take liberties, you know, and they feel like certainly the traditional ones as well. They take fucking liberties. They want to act like a tough guy or a big man. You know what I mean? And like, that's how they get their kicks and stroke their own ego by just bullying children or people that don't know any better. Kind of like you versus Harrington in many ways. Oh. But once again, Harrington, without further ado, Hammer Fisters.
All right. So it looks like Dustin Poirier is going to be out of his UFC 254 co-main event against Tony Ferguson after him and the promotion were not able to come to contract terms. Do you think Tony Ferguson stays on this card? And if so, who does he fight?
If so, number one, devastated. Really looking forward to that fight. Tony Ferguson, Poirier, that would have been awesome. But, you know, Poirier is doing his thing. You know, he wants more money. Fair play, that's his stance. You know, UFC have got their stance or whatever. Unfortunately, it won't happen. If Poirier isn't going to fight, as they say, the show must go on. You know, and Ferguson still wants to compete. He's not retiring. He's not saying, oh, I'm retired because I can't fight Dustin Poirier. So if Poirier won't fight, then I'm assuming they'll find him another opponent.
Okay. I mean, just Luis J. Gomez. If I go through this top five here, it's Conor McGregor, Dan Hooker, Charles Oliveira, Paul Felder, and Diego Fajeya. Do any of those names excite you for a matchup against Tony Ferguson?
No.
Well, Conor McGregor doesn't excite you against Ferguson?
No, I went off on a whole Braveheart speech earlier in today's show about how Conor McGregor versus Nick Diaz needs to happen. And my penis has been hard ever since. And in order to relieve that, I need that fight to happen. So please.
Yeah. Please never mention your penis and certainly never mention it in a sentence where you say that it's erect.
Well, thank our sponsor, Blue Chew.
Oh my God. Harrington, over to you, please.
Canelo Alvarez is suing Oscar De La Hoya, DAZN, and Golden Boy Promotions for $280 million. It's DAZN. DAZN is pronounced DAZN for some reason. The streaming service, it entered into a 5-year, 11-fight contract with him. He's only fought 3 of those fights, and obviously, you know, none this year. He was stripped of the IBF title after Golden Boy couldn't come to a, terms with the mandatory challenger, Sergey Dravenichenko. What do you think Canelo's chances are of winning this lawsuit? And do you think this opens him up for bigger, more exciting fights if he breaks away from DAZN?
Okay, listen, I'm not attacking you, Harrington. I apologize. But the bigger story here, involving Canelo Alvarez is that the executives at DAZN came out this week and say that they see Khabib Nurmagomedov and Jorge Masvidal as premium opponents for Canelo Alvarez, right? And Kevin Ioli, a very, very respected boxing journalist, he came out and said, if that is true, all of the execs over at DAZN must be fired immediately because they clearly have a lack of understanding of the fundamentals of this sport of boxing. And I kind of agree. Canelo Alvarez, I don't know. I haven't seen his. I can't answer whether or not he's going to be successful in the lawsuit. I haven't seen his contract. We don't know what the details are there. Better question would have been, do you think we'll ever see Masvidal or Magomedov fight Canelo? That would have been better. But still, Lewis, do you think Canelo will be successful in his lawsuit? Bearing in mind you have no information, you haven't seen contracts on either side, you don't know the deals, you don't know anything, you know nothing about what's going on. Do you think he's going to be successful in getting $280 million?
Shot in the dark, I'm going to say, yeah, he's going to get all the $280 million. In fact, you know what? They're going to pay him double for no reason.
$560 million.
Wow, he did that math so fucking quick, everyone.
That's what I do, baby boys. Harrington, you're trying to butt in. What do you want to say?
I am. So to clear this up here, DAZN approved two fights for Canelo Alvarez this year.
Can Billy we just Jones- call it DAZN? Because this is a new thing
it's,
that
it's
I don't
DAZN.
Like.
No, you're wrong. It's called DAZN. I know. It's called DAZN. Simple. Deal with it. It's not DAZN.
We all called it DAZN up until this episode.
No, I've never called it DAZN. It's DAZN.
Can somebody please clip Bisping calling it DAZN at one point
no,
and send
listen,
it to
listen,
me? I will give
it,
you $25.
When it first came out, I called it DAZN. But I'm talking about when I was at Fox. When I still worked at Fox, I went and I called it DAZN. And they all fucking, oh, no, Michael.
It's oh, they mocked you.
It's pronounced DAZN. And that we stopped there in 2018. So I've been calling it DAZN for a fucking while. Okay. Trust me. I was shamed.
Okay, I stand corrected. Bisping said it best.
I did, and also Laura Sanko said on The Contender on Tuesday night, Michael Bisping said it best. So we need that drop, and we need the sound drops back. You're in the studio. Brian's not. Brian's dying of a hernia. That's why he's very quiet. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, Brian is suffering. He hasn't slept in 2 days. He has a terrible hernia. He's going in for surgery on Monday, so let's all wish him the best of luck. But go on, DAZN boy. What were you going to say?
Okay, so to give you an idea, DAZN approved two opponents for him this year, Billy Joe Saunders and Callum Smith. However, they said neither one of those registered as premium opponents. Therefore, he wouldn't be eligible for the $35 million per fight that he's guaranteed. However, guys like Jorge Masvidal, Khabib, and even Oscar De La Hoya are on the list of premium fights, premium opponents.
If I was Oscar De La Hoya, I'd take that fight just for the money.
Can I say maybe the definition of premium, devil's advocate, maybe the definition of premium, just they're specifically talking about pay-per-view dollars, who's going to pay marquee dollars to see them fight, not necessarily premium in terms of quality of boxing.
Well, of course, that's what they're talking about. Yeah,
Well, no, I'm saying that Kevin Ioli is wrong, not completely right then, because if they did Canelo Alvarez.
No. Sorry, I thought you were talking about boxers. I thought you were talking about boxers. No, Kevin Ioli's point is correct. For boxers, that this is boxing, right? This is like in the UFC, if they were going to bring in fucking CM Punk, right? It's just.
But he would be premium by the standard of would people pay to see him, and we know for a fact. So I think that's what I'm just saying. I think they're defining premium as, you know, holding value for pay-per-view dollars.
Yeah, no. And there is some weight to that, because I think a Masvidal or a Nurmagomedov, a McGregor, or whatever, you know, any of the big names that are that kind of weight class. Yeah, of course they would do big numbers. So to that. Kind of got a point. All right, go on. Harrington, what else?
All right, Magomed Ankalaev versus Jan Kutabela has now been booked for, I think, the third time. Four.
Iwan Kutalaba, if you're going to ask, get it right. What did you say again?
Jan Kutalaba. Kutalaba.
Iwan Kutalaba. I mean, it's very self-explanatory. Iwan Kutalaba.
Iwan Chupacabra.
Iwan Chupacabamba.
Chippy Bung Bungs.
Come on, Chippy Chim Chim. Right, let's go. Come on.
So their second fight, if you remember, the first one ended in a very controversial knockout, has been rescheduled for a third time. Guys have been dropping out with COVID. Guys have been dropping out because of, you know, global pandemics that stop it. Michael Bisping, does this fight actually happen on Fight Island at UFC 254?
Yes, it does. Third time's a charm. Okay, and at some point, it just can't keep getting canceled. It will happen. It will happen. Weak question. You know, you got to bring the fire with the hammer fisting, Harrington. Lewis, do you think the fight's going to happen?
I'm just going to play devil's advocate. I'll say no, just to go against what Michael Bisping's saying. I don't think it's going to happen. Once again, there's no way to know any of this stuff.
Just go. Yeah, exactly. It's stupid. What do you think the weather's going to be like in 3 weeks?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, that was literally the last thing that I had. So, I mean, I'm all done here, guys. Sorry.
Jeez, run on fumes. It's okay.
My
it's
God. Show. My God. Yeah, we had a good show. Jared Cannonier, he was awesome. He was great. What a great guest.
Yeah, you know, those crystals are fine, but...
Oh, hold on. Michelle Waterson taking on Angela Hill. We never spoke about that. I can't give a prediction because I'm commentating anyway, so we won't get into it. That is a great fight. Angela Hill is the first African-American female to headline a UFC pay-per-view. That's a pretty big deal, and I know that she's very proud of herself, and the UFC are kind of making a big deal of it. So that's great. Congratulations to her on that. It's a fucking fantastic fight. And there is some great fights on the card as well. Not some of the bigger household names, but I'm telling you, some really, really good matchups. So tune in Saturday. Watch those fights. Co-main event is Karma Worthy taking on... I forget his name as well. He's got one of those names that you were talking about before, but he's good.
You know what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
They're all good. Every one of them are fucking incredible.
They're too good.
Yeah.
The weirdos. Frighteningly good at fighting if you come from this part of the world. All right. That's our show.
All right. See you guys later. Peace.
Adios.